It is on one of the busiest shopping streets in Somerset's county town, but Gray's Almshouses, dating to the 1630s, rarely opens its front door. Well, I've been inside to take a look at the chapel with Liz Fothergill. She's from Taunton Heritage Trust, and that still runs Gray's Almshouses all these years later as Almshouses. Here's what happened when I went to meet her.
Charlie,
Liz,
hi.
Thank you. And what a door that is. Gosh, about, what, 8-9 foot tall?
Yeah, I think that's one of the originals. That happens to be the chapel door up here, which is another relic, I think.
Right. Here we go. There's loads of very old dark wood around. And this is another massive door leading into the chapel here. Right, quite an effort unlocking it, Liz. So this is an amazing building. It's actually quite big, really, isn't it? Going from all the stretch along East Street here.
It is.
Tell us briefly about the Gray's Almshouses. What do we need to know about how old they are and what they did?
They were the idea of Robert Gray, who was an entrepreneur and a philanthropist. He was brought up in Taunton, but he made his money as a merchant tailor in London and then obviously wanted to give something back. So he drew up the plans for Gray's Almshouses for 10 women and another little unit for 6 men. He actually died just before they were started. And in fact, his family were quite against the money being spent on it.
Oh, really? Wow.
But anyway, the custodians through the merchant tailors agreed to go ahead with it. And they, you know, they actually gave permission. So A, we're very lucky to have it. And B, obviously, Robert Gray never sadly saw it, you know, in its final stage. So built 1635 with some endowment from his will, so that kept them going, you know, for a good few years. And he was, as I say, an entrepreneur that by giving back to what were known as the poor of Taunton, used to insist that they went to the chapel where we're standing now twice a day for a service by the reader. And in fact, they could be evicted, asked to leave if they didn't attend the services. So right. Quite strict in that way.
A lot of rules. And these days, they're still almshouses. Tell us a bit about the Taunton Heritage Trust before we come and talk about the chapel where we're standing now and some of the bits of the rest of the building, because nearly 400 years on, it's still doing the same job it did back then, pretty much.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Taunton Heritage Trust, as it stands today in 2023, is a mainly an almshouse trust. We have 5 sites in Taunton providing 67 flats for people in need over 60. So it's still doing exactly what it did, you know, 400 or 500 years ago. We also have a couple of commercial properties in High Street which generate an income for us to be able to give out grants to people in need in Taunton. So we're still creating income to be able to carry on that tradition as well, which is just amazing.
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic to hear, especially, you know, this building built to do just this job that it's still doing now. Although the rules, and we'll come and talk about this, the rules have changed slightly as to how that all works.
Yeah.
Tell me about your own history with this building. When did you first come inside, and do you remember that feeling of seeing it like I have done today for the first time?
Yeah, absolutely. So my previous career was with Citizens Advice. So we were one of the referral agents to people, identifying people who needed help. And hence we used to refer people on to Taunton Heritage Trust. So I've known about them for over 30 years. But it took me retiring from Citizens Advice, becoming a trustee with that grant-giving trust, that allowed me to see the chapel for the first time, and I was blown away. I mean, as you've said, we are on a busy street in the centre of Taunton. You come behind that oak door, and suddenly, you know, it's peacefully quiet. And then, you know, the chapel with it, all its oak doors, it's got 2 beautiful oak doors and these oak benches and an oak pew and 1 or 2 pieces of artwork and prayers around. I mean, it just blows your mind away. You just can't believe it. You know, we are where we are.
It's an absolutely beautiful room. So what we should say is that if you go upstairs and along this corridor on the ground floor as well, you'll find where the rooms are, if you like, the flats. Apartments that people live in here, it's part of the almshouses. But we are in a room, you turn right straight after you come through the main door, And this window, shedding light into the room, looks directly out onto East Street. But you can just see how busy and bustling Taunton is out there, and yet it's almost silent here. And that's only a single glazed window, isn't it? It's an old window. So
yeah, single glazed stone mullion window. Yeah. But yeah, it does the job, doesn't it?
Well, it's a beautiful square room. You mentioned there are benches and pews around the outside, sort of looking in. There's a lectern as well for, I guess, where the reader would do the services from. And this fantastic looking chest in the middle of the
coffer.
Room as well.
A coffer.
Tell me a bit more about this.
So the old coffer would be where they kept all the Bibles for the services, and also any money which would then be issued. So there again, in the 1600s and onwards, there was still money being distributed to the poor, so they would keep the money in the coffer as well.
And the ceiling as well, we need to mention, beautifully painted. It looks very old as well, this ceiling.
Yes,
I assume that
is it original?
Right.
It is original. How do you describe it? Well, I mean, there's some cherubs. We've got some cherubs, I think, in the corner. And they're the blowing, this wind, in effect, blowing through the clouds. So, two planets painted with stars. It's original oil painting on that lathe ceiling, you know, back from 1635, and it is exquisite.
What a room this is. This takes you right back to the 17th century, doesn't it, where there was a lot of religion. You were telling me that the women had to come here twice a day for services as part of their agreement of living here. And you sort of get that feeling straight away. It's one of the most important rooms, isn't it, in this building, or certainly would have been back then.
Absolutely. 10 women would have come down here twice a day to go through the service with the reader. So, yeah, quite strict.
In front of us is this portrait of Robert Gray, who, as you said, built this, although it was his money. He wasn't around by the time it was ready to go. What do you think he'd make of this now, 400 years later, and it's still going, still doing a very similar job to how it was designed, his idea?
What a legacy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, who would have dreamed? How could he have dreamed that, you know, something that he aspired to build and never actually saw, you know, its completion would still be, you know, the topic of conversation and something that a trust is so proud of, you know, nearly 400 years later. There is, obviously, Robert Gray was important in Taunton. There's actually a statue of him in Taunton Minster as well. So, you know, he obviously had a big impact on Taunton. This was, say, was just one of his legacies, which is lovely.
Next to that, a very different age, you've got this. Is it, did you say 1950s? A list of the rules of being here. So you have a look at that.
Yeah, well, let's just wander over.
And this, you'll hear the wood that we're walking on now. There's the beautiful oak of all the doors, frames, benches, pews, everything. It's all this glorious old wood, well-worn wood.
Throughout its history, there has always been some sort of rules and regulations for the residents, the beneficiaries of the charity. So we've talked about, you know, if they didn't attend the services, they potentially could be evicted if they didn't attend them. But those rules have obviously changed considerably over the centuries. But this one is from the 1950s, so
relatively recent in its history, really.
It is. It's in my lifetime, I can say confidently. Obviously not in yours, Charlie, but yeah, in my lifetime. I mean, the first one is that no person should be admitted, an inmate. I mean, you know, they called them inmates, even in the 50s. And thankfully we've moved on since then, but it says they must sign an agreement to be bound by these rules, and that they could be expelled if they didn't follow those rules. It's just some lovely terms in there. No inmate shall use any quarrelsome or abusive language, nor be guilty of drunkenness, nor commit any nuisance, nor neglect to keep his or her room clean, nor be careless of fire.
Interesting, you see fire there. It's such a big, I mean, still a big problem here, and in an old building you can imagine a crucial thing
that
is.
Yeah, it's a real concern for us, you know, even today.
Yeah.
Obviously, our residents are over 60. As they get older, well, at any age, there's that risk of dementia and losing that mental capacity. So fire is obviously a big issue for us, and we do have wardens who come and check on our residents if they so wish every day.
If you think of how many people have lived here in that time, that there hasn't been an issue like that, is the building still standing? It's quite amazing, really.
And in fact, at Somerset Archives, they have all our minutes and all our records since the 1600s.
Wow.
And if anybody is ever thinking that they have a spare couple of years, it would be so so fascinating to be able to go through those. The rules and regulations from over the centuries will all be there as well. But, you know, even in the 50s, it says every inmate being in health and not reasonably hindered shall regularly attend the service in the chapel twice on every Lord's Day and once on every weekday.
Even in the 50s, all that religion still very much part of it. I guess the alms came from the church, did they?
Absolutely. And then I just wanted to love all the inmates to be in their rooms at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh God, it's quite an early curfew, that 9 o'clock.
It is. And you know, the last one then again is emphasising about prayers in the chapel twice on every Lord's Day and once on every weekday. Mm. So it really was quite strict, but obviously served the purpose, and I guess people, you know, really appreciated it as their home. And I know that's what our residents do now. You know, for them it's their home.